Hey, it's maybe spring. I don't know, a little sunshine today. It's exciting. I hope you guys had a good weekend. I've been thinking about you and praying for you guys. I know that it's just coming into the tough season, so I bet you guys were all studying like good college students all weekend, right? And I was just actually really grateful to the Lord that I am not a college student this weekend, to be honest. So I didn't do any studying this weekend. This weekend I actually spent a lot of time on the phone with my family. And I noticed one thing, this is sort of a funny about my family. I have a brother who lives in Colorado, and so I spent some time talking to him on the phone. I love my brother. There's lots of wonderful, wonderful things about him. But he's kind of hard to talk to on the phone sometimes. And one thing that I noticed about him this time is that he's an extended closer when it comes to phone conversations. My brother likes to say goodbye for a really long time. So it's one of these like, all right, well, it was great to talk to you, Kate. You too, Dave. Well, I really miss you. Miss you too. Well, we'll say hey to Eric for me. Will do. Really, really great to talk. We'll talk soon, okay? All right, Dave, great. See ya. And then finally we hang up. So then on the other side, there's my mother, who I don't know how they share the same gene pool, because Barb is a little different on the phone. Barb is like a quick, sometimes I don't even know we've ended the conversation and it's done. Usually I get a cue, like my mom will go, okie doke, and that means she's done, we're done. Sometimes it's just okie doke, click. Other times it's like okie doke, see ya. And that's like, oh, okay, we're done. Sometimes I'm like still talking. I'm like, Mom, are you there? So anyway, I don't know how this happens, but we've got the extended closer and we've got the like okie doke and we're done conversations going on. It's funny to think about the sort of conclusions, right? The conclusions are really important. They're like social cues that we give to people. Have you ever been at a lecture where you can tell the person who's doing the lecture has not given enough time to their conclusion? And so all of a sudden they like quit talking. And everybody's like, is he done? Are we supposed to clap now? It's like so awkward, right? Like you feel for it. It's like you're left in this. That's how I feel about sometimes conversations with my mom. And that's how I feel sometimes about lectures. It's like, help me come to a conclusion here. I'm feeling awkward. Well, I noticed something. Maybe you guys have noticed this too, that it seems we have an awkward okey-doke style gospel writer in the Gospel of Mark. If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, don't worry, this is going to make sense in just a minute. He was like, what? We've been hanging out in the end of Mark for quite some time. We are in the resurrection season, and we have been looking at the end of the Gospel of Mark. What page is that on in your pew Bibles? 830? All right, so everybody turn to 8:30 in your pew Bibles. If you guys have been paying attention, you might have noticed something that's a little bit odd about the end of Mark. And that is this, that it looks like Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, everything's kind of going fine. And then all of a sudden you see it says the shorter ending of Mark. Is that in your Bibles there? And then there's some verses, and then it says the longer ending of Mark. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff, which is kind of weird. Let me explain what's going on here. Scholars look back at this, and they've done some research to sort of discern that the person who wrote the rest of the Gospel of Mark ends up ending with verse 8 in chapter 16 here. And he ends it in such an awkward and unfinished kind of way that somehow early on in Christianity, there were other writers who said, you know what, we can do a better job of that. It's not our best work here, so we're going to fix that a little bit. So they added some extra stuff at the end of the Gospel of Mark to help us feel a little bit more resolved about what was going on there. Now, why would somebody add extra stuff to somebody's rendering of the good news of Jesus Christ? Great question. So let's take a look a second at the way Mark ends his gospel. The original author of this gospel, right? So let's take a look. So we know that the women have come to the tomb to anoint the body, that the stone has been rolled back for them, that they come in and they don't see Jesus there, but they see somebody who says, Jesus is not here. And then in verse 8, it says this, so they went out and fled the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Okie doke. It's done. What a weird way to end this story that's supposed to be good news. I don't know about you, but that doesn't feel good to me. to say, if it were the end of a movie, I think I would be really angry, right? That the last scene was these women like running away from this tomb with terrified looks on their faces, and then it's just done. Well, if you go back to the original Greek, it's actually worse. Because in the original Greek, what Mark says is this. They fled the tomb in terror and amazement. They said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for... He ends mid-sentence. So you could understand where somebody was like, no, we can't have this. We've got to fix this thing, right? There are some people who think that we just lost the original ending of Mark. There are other people who have other theories about what happened. But I read something interesting, and it really has sort of challenged me. I read a scholar who said, well, let's just say for the sake, just for fun, what if Mark meant to end his gospel that way? What would that challenge us to think about? What if Mark meant to say this? For terror and amazement seized them. They said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for, and that was it. One thing I think that it asks us to be challenged with is why these women were so afraid. You know, I've been taught that the empty tomb is the best kind of news. I've been taught that the empty tomb is the answer to my biggest and hardest and scariest questions. I've been taught that the empty tomb is the answer to death, and it's the answer to sin, and it's the answer to evil. And I have been taught that the response to the empty tomb is hallelujah. But that's not what these women who were closest to Jesus, that's not what their response was at all. Their response was to be terrified. What is up with that? And I don't know. Mark doesn't tell us. But one of the things I wonder is this. Do you think it's possible that those women, you know, that they were in grief and that they were terribly disappointed? They were incredibly sad, but that they were also maybe just a little bit relieved. Because, you know, Jesus wasn't an easy one to follow. Jesus had asked a great deal of his disciples. Jesus had asked the people who followed him to give up their comforts, to give up their money, to give up their families. He had asked the privileged ones among them to sacrifice their privilege. They had to share space and meals and conversations with people they never would have thought had anything to contribute. He asked the people who thought they knew a lot about God to sacrifice their theology. He was always telling them how the way they thought about sin, the way they thought about Sabbath, the way they thought about the law, all of those things were wrong. And he was telling the people among them who thought they were always right, he was telling them, no, actually, you're wrong about a lot of stuff. They had sacrificed their ability to be right in order to follow Jesus, and that's a hard one for a lot of us. They had sacrificed even their ability to understand. You know, Jesus said a lot of things that made absolutely no sense to these people. In order to follow Jesus, they had sacrificed things very close to them. So I wonder if those women weren't just the slightest bit relieved when it was over and when they no longer were going to be asked to follow this hard way of Jesus, to continue to sacrifice all the things that they had to sacrifice. Maybe that's why when the stone was rolled back and they saw that that tomb was empty, they didn't shout, "Alleluia." Because it scared them, because you know what? It wasn't over like they thought it was. Maybe for them, it wasn't such good news at first, because a dead Savior doesn't ask anything of you. But a Savior who is risen, well, who knows what that is going to mean if we choose to follow? You know, I think what I've been taught about the resurrection, about how good it is and how comforting it is, I think all those things are true. I think it is our best answer to death and evil and sin and pain. But I also think it's possible that Mark doesn't want to leave us there with just alleluia and that's it. I think that somehow Mark is trying to help us to see that actually the empty tomb, while it's comforting, is also extremely scary. And maybe we haven't taken it seriously enough, what being followers on the way of this Jesus will cost us. Maybe Mark meant to to leave his gospel unfinished. For believers like us someday to read that sentence that doesn't have an ending and to sort of live our lives into that story. Maybe it's Mark's invitation to say to us, you know, the empty tomb, you know, it's a lot of really good answers, but it's also a lot of really hard questions for us. And what do we do with that? Maybe we live the answers. Maybe we practice resurrection. Maybe we don't know what the women did, but maybe we do what we hope that they did, that we go to Galilee, that we follow this Jesus, that we admit that we're scared, that we sacrifice stuff that's close to us. You know, I sometimes really wish that Mark didn't leave us hanging, that it wasn't such an awkward way to end things. I like resolution. I like wrapping things up. I like to feel comfortable. But Mark maybe doesn't give us that gift. Perhaps instead Mark gives us a choice. Will we enter this story? Will our lives be part of the way this good news ends? Will we make the good news real with our lives? Will we practice resurrection? The women, they fled that tomb full of terror and amazement, and they said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for Amen. Okie doke. Go in peace.